Thank you all in Jesus' name this morning. Enjoyed the service so far, and I hadn't really thought of kind of the similarities of the message and the Sunday school lesson. Really appreciated the emphasis Dale put on the last part here of the promises that we have and what we can accomplish, things that could think would be basically impossible for us looking on from our perspective, but that God can make possible. And I'm not sure what title to give this message. It has to do with our destiny, or that we are destined to win. And I want to be careful through this message that I don't get into the area of predestination. We know that we have, obviously, requirements that we need to follow. We can't just do anything and have a promise that will be, that we'll have the promise of glory. I think we all understand that, but there are promises that we have, and as we follow those promises, there is an amazing, as we faithfully follow opportunities that God gives us, there are promises that we can claim. Before we go further into the message, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Just pray that you be with us as we look into your word, and just if I say anything that is not right, that you would cause it to fall on deaf ears, that you would just help the truth of your word to rest in our hearts, help us to be able to claim promises from your word, and also those gathering other places this morning as well, that it would be inspired there with your word. Just be with each one in this service. Continue to bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first verse I want to look at is Philippians 1, verse 6. You don't need to turn to this, but this is kind of the theme verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I think we all realize, maybe some more than others, but we all face times in our life when we think, well, our life is basically a disaster, and we don't really see how the way forward will be. But as we go through this message, concentrate on the fact that our best days are still possibly before us, or the possibility that there's a promise of us for having our best days before us. And even though the clouds might be a little dark for us at times, maybe right now, the grace of God is available there for us. And it's within each of us what we do with that promise. If we're going to be faithful to the end and allow him to work out that miracle in our lives, everyday miracles that we face, that we see so many times, or whether we succumb and fall back and then our days will just get worse. I was just reading some of the stories in the Martyr's Mirror yesterday a bit, and just some of the amazing testimonies those people had. Don't read there enough, but sometimes we think we're facing some pretty bleak circumstances, but some of those people there, they pretty much had a guarantee that if they would continue on the way they were there, they'd be suffering within the next day or two, but they had such an amazing testimony that they weren't looking for how their life was going to get better in the next month or the next year or so, but they had that promise that they were in a win-win situation. If they were released, it would get better, and if it would get worse, well, it couldn't get much worse, and then they'd be in glory, and then so much amazing testimonies that they had. So let's remember that our greatest days, the possibility of our greatest days are before us. Let's remember that we aren't a finished product. And I think so many times we think that we are. We think we have it together now, and we should be able to, things should be easier for us. But God isn't finished working with us yet. And we're still a work in progress. We still haven't reached our full potential. The work God began in you, he will finish. What God starts in you, he will complete. Just remember, though, that we are destined to great things, but we are not predestinated. There are decisions are still before us. We know that God didn't bring us this far to forsake us, and sometimes we maybe feel that he is not as near to us. We realize he has given us a promise, but then when we're in the midst of the battle, we at times cry out to him, and he doesn't immediately answer us, and we kind of maybe feel forsaken. But remember that he has invested too much in us to give up on us at any point in our lives. That's what he created his people for, his created children for, to serve him. And therefore, his greatest desire is for us to make it through, and he won't just leave us in the lurch. But remember, we don't belong to the devil. We belong to God. Satan doesn't control your destiny, and hell doesn't have power to stop you or keep you down. Just as Satan didn't have power to keep Jesus in the grave, you know, he had the power to bring him there through the circumstances of the people, but he couldn't keep him there. It was impossible for Satan to keep Jesus in the grave. So therefore, I think we can claim that promise that neither can he keep us in our setback or in our affliction or our trial. He can, obviously, he has the power to put things in our path, but he can't use those, or he can't defeat us. That's our decision, who we give that power to, whether we give him the power whether we succumb to that and stumble and fall, or whether we put our trust in God, who is more powerful. Acts 2, verse 23 and 24 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Showing that it was impossible for Satan to hold, or for death to hold Jesus. We know that the Roman soldiers did not have enough power, and Satan did not have enough power either to stop the resurrection. Jesus was destined to go to the grave, but he was also destined to conquer the grave. Acts 2, verse 27 says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." The power of God to have the power over the grave is the same power that we can claim. Jesus knew that he would be crucified, but he also knew that after the crucifixion there would be a resurrection. He knew that the cross was not the end, but only the beginning. And I think too many times we also see, or we don't see the end. We see into the middle of the storm, or maybe we see into the middle of the trial, and I think we have the faith that we will make it through. We don't want to give up. We trust in God. But I don't think our vision often is great enough to see the great things that can come from that, the result of that. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking some more at this, a setback doesn't mean something is over. A setback is positioning you for a comeback. And we can think of illustrations in life, in the natural life, where that happens at times. But in our spiritual journey, that is so true as well. A setback is not the end, but it's just a position, repositioning for us to make a comeback. A door shut means a door is about to open. We often hear that and say that. An ending only means that there is getting ready to be a new beginning. And the road to destiny consists of endings and beginnings, setbacks and comebacks. If you're experiencing a great setback at the present time, then get ready to experience a great comeback. And I realize and want to be honest enough to know that maybe sometime we won't see that in this life. Maybe when we think of somebody diagnosed with a disease, maybe in their life situations are just going from bad to worse, and maybe that great comeback won't happen in this life. But in the end, there will be. And whether it is in this life or not, we don't know. And, you know, we realize that often we think, well, our journey, we think, okay, now have this problem is behind us and we're going on to new ground. And then we find out, well, it only got worse. And that's kind of reminded me of that story. This isn't really how our life works, but it feels like it at times. This is a person that, middle of a snowstorm, showed up at his friend's house. And he told him, well, I started out on my walk over here. The wind came up. It was so icy. He said it was so bad. Every step I took forward, I slid back 2 steps. And his friend says, well, that doesn't really make sense. You're here. How did you get here? He said, well, it was just so bad, I finally just turned around and went home. But I think we can all relate to that at times. I think it's just no use. But let's remember, in our life, it's important for us to keep putting one step in front of the other. And even at times, if we think we're just sliding back and ready to turn around, as long as we do our part and not give up, put one step in front of the other with our faith in God, sooner or later we'll find ourselves maybe not at the destination that we had thought of at first, but we'll get to an amazing place in our life where God can use us, maybe totally different direction maybe than we thought. But God has, like I said earlier, God has invested too much in us to give up on us. We are his children. We'll just go to Job chapter 42. I'll read a couple of verses here. You don't need to turn to it if you don't want to. But we'll look at the story of Job, and that's always an inspiration to us. We know that he also had every opportunity to give up, we would have thought. In verse 10, we'll see at the end of his life how God blessed him. This is obviously materially, and we don't have the promise that God will do that for us materially. But let's apply it to ourselves as we know. Verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then also 12 and 13. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. So anyway, the last part here of Job, he had way more than he had at the beginning. But in between, remember that story of Job, the affliction that he had experienced and suffered. And our trials and afflictions, setbacks, are very real as well. There's other illustrations of people in the Bible that suffered greatly. But God brought them through as well. We think of Joseph in the pit there. His brothers had conspired to sell him, to get rid of him. So he was in this pit. Israel, we know that God brought Israel out of Egypt where they were suffering. And they had so much more afterward as well. Daniel was in the lion's den, possibly. I'm not sure how scared he was, but you know that in all likelihood, he probably thought that was the end of his life. He was helped out of that. You know, the 3 Hebrew children in the middle of the furnace in the fire. God brought each one of these out of their situation. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And no storm is made to last forever, neither are our trials, our afflictions, and our setbacks. And one thing we should also remember, we shouldn't be fighting the same battles today as we were fighting last year. We have pretty much a promise that we will be facing trials and setbacks in this life. But I think if it's always the same battle, maybe there's something wrong with our faith in God. Maybe we need to rethink some things in our life. I think we aren't expected to continually be faced. Yeah, there will always be trials that we face, temptations maybe that are something that each one of us, our personality or whatever, are facing. But we need to have progress also in our Christian life. Romans 8, verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So how many things can we conquer? All things. And how often can we triumph? I think we can always triumph. Maybe we don't always, and I think it might be pretty unusual if we would know of somebody that never really struggles much and just always faces something in life and they just conquer and go on. Probably there are people like that. I'm not one of those. I think most of us would, if we're honest, we admit that there are things that we sometimes struggle with and takes us longer than it should to gain victory, to gain a triumph. But it's always possible for us. We're not destined to fail. We're destined to win. God will take what looks like a curse and turn it into a blessing. He will take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. Another promise we have, Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you stay true to God in hard times, he will use your adversity to make advancements. He will use your disappointments to become God's appointments. And doesn't he do that in amazing ways sometimes? Turn our disappointments to his appointments. He will use your opposition to open doors of opportunity sometimes. We know there is not a pit deep enough and there is not a fire hot enough. There's not a storm powerful enough. There's not a chain strong enough to keep us from the path that God has for us. Nothing can hold you back. You were created to be a victor. We were made to win. Well, in Adam, we were born a loser. But in God, we are born a winner. And we have experienced that new birth when we have taken God, taken Jesus Christ as our Savior and our King, our Lord. We can have that assurance of being able to be winners. Before time began, we were part of God's plan. We were chosen with God before the foundation of the world. Also Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When we were born again, we were born in his image, created in his likeness and born in of his spirit. And if we are born of his spirit, then we have that power within us. It's not something that we, some power that we have to journey somewhere, go somewhere to get periodically, but we have that source of that power within. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. And John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's a precious promise, isn't it? To as many as have received him. So if we have received him, if we have named his name, to them, to each one of us, he has given this power to become the sons of God. And as sons of God, then we would say, well, then there's nothing impossible for us as far as being faithful in this life. But Satan, when he sees us, he sees a child of God, and he sees what we are able to become and what we maybe are about to do. When Satan sees us, he sees our destiny. He doesn't just see us right now. I think he sees the potential that we have. I think that's why he makes such attacks against us. He knows that you have been chosen for this time. Satan wants to keep us from becoming what God has made possible for us to become. He wants to keep us from the potential that we have in our future. And I think he is also afraid of our future. People are not going through anything, or people that are not facing anything are not going through anything really, are people that are not going anywhere as well. We know that when Israel, before Israel entered into the wealthy place, into the Canaan land, a place of abundance and overflow, they first had to go through the fire and the flood. But just as the water and the fire could not stop Israel, the trial, the affliction, or the setback that we are experiencing possibly, or that have experienced, are impossible to stop us as well. God brought Israel out of Egypt, and God brought Joseph out of the pit. He brought Daniel out of the lion's den. He brought the three Hebrew children out of the fire, and he will bring each one of you out of whatever trial you're facing. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I think we, this is talking about God's word, not returning to him void, but I think we have that same promise as well in our lives. Our future can be so much better than our past. And Satan knows that if he can keep us in our past, or in our present, we will never move into our future. I think that's why he uses so much, spends so much time on our past, trying to help us to think of things in our past, maybe failures. You know, that God is the one that discusses our tomorrows. It's not Satan. The devil never dwells too much on our future, does he? It's right our now and our past. So don't build your future around your past. Focus on your tomorrow and not on your yesterday. Talk about your future and not your past. Don't dwell on where you were yesterday. Dwell on where you are today and where you are going from here. All of our setbacks and tests are the enemy trying to keep us from that destiny. Satan also wants us to lose focus, to become discouraged and give up ever reaching forward. Maybe we had a goal and things have happened in our life, and maybe the tendency is to give up on that goal in the future and to just maybe concentrate on today or have a lot shorter range goal, but don't do that. Don't take your eyes off the prize. We know that Pharaoh didn't try to kill Moses as a little boy because he was afraid of little boys, was he? Why did he make that rule or try to destroy those little children? It wasn't because he was afraid of these babies. He was afraid of what Moses would become. He was afraid of what the nation of Israel would do in their future. He was afraid of Israel's deliverer. Joseph's brothers didn't try to kill him because of who he was at that time. He was their little brother that probably wasn't doing all that much that influenced the household. But they were afraid of who he would become, of his challenge to their position when he became older. Saul wasn't afraid of David when he was a young boy playing his harp there. He was threatened because of David taking his throne when David would become older. Satan wasn't afraid of who Jesus was as a baby, but he was afraid of who Jesus would become when he became a man. That's why he did worked in Herod's decisions there, influenced Herod in that way. Wasn't because of baby Jesus, but because of who he knew Jesus would someday become. That's why Satan, I think, is working so hard in our lives too, not maybe for what we are right now, but he's looking at us individually in our future, what we have, what our potential is, what the potential is of the church, of the group. That's why he is putting setbacks in our life at times. That's why he spends so much time trying to distract us. God's plan will prevail, and God's purpose concerning your life will stand. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Just going to read Psalm 124. Turn there if you want to. It's a pretty short psalm. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick and the wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our souls. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. A short psalm, but isn't it amazing the promise, the thanksgiving for God's deliverance? I think the same would be said for us. If it hadn't been for the Lord, we would be destroyed. We wouldn't be able to stand very long. We'd be overwhelmed. Streams would have washed us away. We'd be swallowed up. But because of God's promise, we have escaped. Praise the Lord. And we haven't even seen the total fulfillment of God's plan for our lives. It's unfolding daily. And even though maybe we are a long way from reaching our destiny, at least we are on the way. In our journey of life, from we're in the middle of point A to the end, wherever that is, and this is where the devil is trying to get us, get us to give up on our dreams. When we are between the land of Egypt and the land of promise, in between there is when we face the discouragements, when we face the complaining. In between, when we're between the pit and the palace, we could say, that is when we face so many challenges. It's in between the crucifixion and the resurrection that we face the dark hours, isn't it? The enemy will try to make you doubt the promises of God and even the call of God on our life. We've probably all faced that as well. We wonder if God actually did ever call us. And when we face the discouragement Satan gives in our lives, but let's never give up on that promise. We know that God did call us. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When Israel walked out of Egypt, they had more blessing than they had ever known. So you remember that story. They were in Egypt making bricks. They were slaves. I'm not sure what all they faced there, but it was terrible. When they left, we know the promise that they carried with them, the promise of a new land. They also carried gold. They carried many possessions with them that they hadn't had when they entered into Egypt. Why did they go into Egypt? Because they were starving, weren't they? But when they came out, they had so much. We know when Daniel came out of the lion's den, he was promoted. He was more powerful than before, and his enemies were removed. With the three Hebrew children came out of the fire, they were also delivered. They were promoted. When Joseph came out of the pit and the prison, he was promoted and moved to the palace. When Jesus came out of the grave, he had the keys to death and hell. Before this, Satan had the power of death, of Jesus' death here. But when Jesus came out, he had the power. He had the power over death and hell. He had the keys. Revelation 1 verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So regardless of what you may see or how you may feel, your greatest days are ahead of you. The potential for your greatest days are ahead of you. It's not guaranteed that it'll just magically get better next week or next year or in 10 years from now. Physically, or that Satan will not bother us anymore. We know that it's not how it works. But the potential of our greatest days are ahead of us, whether it's in this life or the next. doesn't matter what has happened in your life or what is happening at the present time. And again, look one last time at Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has begun a good work in you, and he will provide what we need to make it through to the end. I think we'll stand for closing prayer.